The Archer of the Sun and the Lady of the Moon by Yuji Foster. Long ago, there was an archer named Ho-Yi. Because of the keenness of his eye and the unerring aim of his horn bow, he was granted immortality by the Jade Emperor and invited to live in the Heavenly Court. Also in the Celestial Palace lived Chang'e, the most beautiful handmaiden of the Queen Mother of the Western Heavens. Ho-Yi happened upon Chang'e in the Undying Garden, and she was the most exquisite of all the blossoms, a shimmering flower in her saffron-bright court robes. Chang'e peeked over an armful of scarlet peonies and golden daffodils to see a man with strong arms and piercing eyes gazing at her in wonder. But before they could speak, Ho-Yi spied a noisome bee hovering at her ear. "Beware, my lady." He reached to crush it, but when Chang'e realized his intention, she stopped him with a delicate hand on his sleeve. "Good sir, would you punish an innocent who means me no ill, merely because he has the means to defend himself?" The bee alighted on Chang'e's wrist, shivering a dusting of tawny pollen from its wings. Poised against the silk of her skin, it was like an iridescent jewel of onyx and topaz. "Justice is a sword that must be wielded with thought and compassion, not impulse," she said. She raised her arm, and the bee hummed away. "You are as wise as you are lovely," Ho-Yi said. "Might I have the gift of your name?" "I am Chang'e, and may I also continue to enjoy the radiance of your company?" Chang'e lowered her eyes and smiled. "You may." The Jade Emperor favored Ho-Yi above all others, so when the couple came to him to ask for his blessing to marry, he gave it gladly. Ho-Yi and Chang'e wed in a magnificent celebration. They strolled along a star-strewn path, their feet treading golden clouds, while silver roses and blushing orchids rained down. They shared the emperor's table, enjoying lotus seeds and honeyed dates with the imperial children, and drank rice wine so light and pure it was clearer than water and sweeter than cream. After the banquet, the emperor and the queen mother swept aside the clouds so the whole court might be entertained by the bustle and commotion of the middle kingdom below. Both Chang'e and Ho-Yi were delighted with the people who flourished in the land beneath the sky. Chang'e clapped her hands with pleasure when she saw how clever they were, writing poems upon paper and composing wonderful songs to honor their ancestors. Ho-Yi gazed with fascination upon the farmers and fishermen who worked so hard to feed and clothe their families, admiring their diligence and goodwill. But the 9 sons of the emperor, being young and impetuous, were not impressed. "How dreary they are," the youngest said. "Look at me instead. I can shine like the sun." And so saying, he leapt into the sky, bright as fire and 10 times as hot. Not to be outdone, his 8 brothers jumped after him in a searing conflagration, flashing and burning with glee. Ho-Yi gaped in awe at the dazzling exhibit overhead. But Chang'e's attention was drawn to a lament from below. The terrible splendor of the emperor's sons had exacted a toll upon the Middle Kingdom. Rivers boiled away, crops charred and died, and people starved. A great cry rose up, imploring the Jade Emperor to bring an end to the punishing heat. But the emperor only shrugged. "They are my sons, and they may do as they will." He gathered up the hems of his robes and turned his back upon the suffering below. Chang'e wept as the people of the Middle Kingdom continued to wail. "Please, divine princes," she pleaded, "end your sport before the land is scorched black." But the nine sons were too enraptured by their own glory to heed her. Chang'e turned to Ho-Yi. "This is wickedness. My husband, you must do something. This cannot be allowed to continue." Ho-Yi was stirred by the distress in his bride's eyes. "Come down, sons of the Jade Emperor," he shouted. "I will not ask you again." The princes jeered and flashed even brighter. Ho-Yi pursed his lips and took up his great horn bow. Knocking an arrow to the string, he took aim at the youngest. Even though the prince's radiance was blinding to behold, Ho-Yi did not falter. He loosed the bolt, and it flew, clean and true, to the heart of the youngest prince. The imperial sun plunged from the sky and fell, hissing and spitting, into the ocean. The remaining sons, despite the loss of their youngest, refused to desist. One after another, Ho-Yi knocked arrows to his bow and shot the princes down. When the Jade Emperor felt the furious heat ebb, he turned around and saw what had happened. "You have extinguished my sacred heirs," he cried. "For that, you and Chang'e shall die." But his wife, the Queen Mother of the Western Heaven, intervened. "It is because of your pride that this has come to pass. You did not discipline your sons. Therefore, I will not allow you to kill my handmaiden or her husband." The Jade Emperor was still furious, but he acceded to the justice of his wife's words. He stripped away the immortality from archer and maiden and flung them down to walk the Middle Kingdom, banishing them from the heavens. The people of the Middle Kingdom were grateful to Ho-Yi for saving them and crowned him as their emperor. Ho-Yi dedicated himself to making wise decisions and aiding those in need. But he came to resent his subjects when he saw that even the diligent workmen could be subject to greed and pride, taking advantage of those poorer than they, or reveling in drunken excess when there was yet work undone. He realized that the denizens of the Middle Kingdom could be as capricious as the rulers of the Celestial Palace and as fickle. Chang'e witnessed the same follies as her husband, but instead of taking exception to the vices of mortals, she pitied them and continued to take pleasure in the beauty and wondrous creations they produced. As the seasons passed, lines began to crease Ho-Yi's face. His joints, once supple and strong, creaked and ached. One morning, he woke to discover a shining white hair on his pillow. "How ignominious it is to be defeated by ruthless decay, when once I was immune to death." He frowned into his mirror, cataloguing and lamenting the symptoms of mortality he found in it. When his advisors came to consult him on that day's calendar, he shouted at them, "It is your fault that I will die." When the magistrates arrived, seeking his wisdom, he railed at them, "It is because of you that I will become a frail old man." And when the peasants began queuing up to petition his imperial judgment, he roared at them, "You have condemned me to the ravages of time." While his subjects glanced at one another in confusion, he screamed, "You must all repay me for my sacrifice." At his decree, the farmers and fishermen brought him the bounty of their labor. The magistrates piled silks and spices at his feet, and his advisers emptied the coffers in order to build a gold statue in his likeness. Due to this excess, children went hungry, and the people wore rags in their poverty. Still, Ho-Yi was not satisfied. "You must worship me, neglecting even your fields to honor me, for I have given up everything for you." Chang'e withdrew into her garden as she watched her husband's rule become one of tyranny and madness. She retreated in silence, holding her tongue lest she worsen Ho Yi's temper with her unhappiness. Before long, she stopped talking altogether. When Ho Yi could not coax a word from his wife, he flew into a great rage. He grabbed his bow and shouted up to the Celestial Palace, "If it is your will to banish me forever, then so be it. But your exile has stolen Chang'e's tongue. Give us a draught from the cup of eternal life, or I will shoot down the last sun." The Queen Mother of the Western Heavens heard him and flew down to the Middle Kingdom. "You would extinguish the life-giving warmth and plunge both the Middle Kingdom and the heavens into eternal darkness?" Ho Yi set an arrow to the string. He pulled it to his ear and pointed it at the sky. "Restore our immortality, or I will create an endless night." Seeing the wrath in Ho Yi's eyes, the Queen Mother mixed sacred herbs into a cup and poured a cool stream of thyme over them. "There is enough elixir of life for you and Chang'e. Your wife, who has been guilty of nothing but compassion, may ascend to the Celestial Palace. But you can never return." Ho Yi snatched the cup from the Queen Mother's hand. "So be it." He dashed with it to Chang'e, where she sat in her garden, watching cherry blossoms flutter in the wind. "Look," Ho Yi said, "I have tricked the Queen Mother of the Western Heaven into giving us the elixir of life. We never have to die, and I will rule the Middle Kingdom forever. I will shower you in jewels and drape your white limbs in the finest silk. Drink and speak once more." Chang'e looked into her husband's face and saw only the fervor of his madness. Her heart ached in her breast when she thought of the ceaseless suffering the people would be condemned to with Ho Yi as their emperor. Her hands trembled as she took the cup he offered her, but they steadied when she threw back her head and gulped both her portion of immortality and his before he could stop her. Tears like molten pearls coursed down her cheeks. "I'm sorry, my husband," she whispered. "I cannot allow you to be an eternal tyrant." Ho Yi screamed in rage when he saw Chang'e had swallowed the whole draught. He leveled his bow and had an arrow knocked and pointed at her heart. But when he saw the grief in her eyes, he recoiled. "I was about to shoot you," he cried. "What have I become?" Shame drove him to his knees, and with a deafening crack, he snapped his bow in half. Ho Yi reached his hand to his wife in entreaty, but though she stretched her arms to embrace him in turn, they could not touch. Chang'e's feet drifted from the floor. Ho Yi was forced to watch, heartbroken and wretched, as she floated out a window and into the sky, pulled into the heavens by the potency of the double dose. "I am immortal once more," she called, "so I may not remain in the Middle Kingdom with you. But I shall not fly back to the Celestial Palace. I will only go as far as the moon so that I may still hear your prayers." As good as her word, Chang'e watched over the Middle Kingdom from her new home in the Palace of the Moon. She ensured that harvests were bountiful by watering the sky with her tears of loneliness. Ho Yi gazed up at her every night, never forgetting that because of his madness, they must be forever apart. On the 15th day of the 8th month, the Queen Mother took pity on the parted lovers. She let Chang'e fly down to the Middle Kingdom and watched as the reunited lovers embraced. The Queen Mother of the Western Heavens was so moved by the joy of the archer and her handmaiden that she gave Ho Yi a choice. I will restore your immortality, but you must live on the sun and guard it from harm, in case another archer should decide to shoot it down. May I be with Chang'e? Ho Yi asked. She chose the moon as her home. You may gaze upon each other in passing, but you may not meet. However, on this day, and for this day of every year, you may be together. Ho Yi sank down in despair. Chang'e knelt beside him. One day is surely better than none, is it not? I will live for that day and for the delight of seeing you again, Ho Yi said. And ever since, Ho Yi and Chang'e are reunited on the 15th day of the 8th lunar month. On that date, couples often walk in the beautiful gardens of China and look up at the full moon where they know Chang'e gazes down upon them. The Archer of the Sun and the Lady of the Moon, read by Yuji Foster, appears in Returning My Sister's Face and Other Far Eastern Tales of Whimsy and Malice, and was originally published in issue number 9 of Paradox Magazine. This audio version is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 license.